Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, and welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi Meseches Chulin Daf Kuftes. We are holding on Kuftes Amud Aleph at the Mishnah, which is three lines from the bottom of the Amud. And with your permission, perhaps we'll join up today's Daf Kuftes with the next Daf Kuf Yud. Due to the shortness of the Dapim and the connectivity of the topic here, we're speaking about the milk inside the udder. And before we begin the Mishnah, we're meant to know that min ha-toiro, the issur of cooking and consuming basar cooked with chalav, is only applicable to real milk that was milked out of a live animal. But if you have milk discovered inside the udder of an animal post-shechita, that is not really considered milk min ha-toiro. It's sort of considered part and parcel of its surrounding flesh. It's only also midrabbanon to be cooked with meat. It's called chalev shchuta, which is only midrabbanon. Now, let's say you have that milk still inside the udder, and you want to cook up the udder and consume it. What do you do now? Says the Mishnah, hakechal, so the udder, before cooking it, koiroi, he must tear it open, umoiti as chalavoi, and clean out its milk. So before cooking, you have to cleanse it of its milk, midrabbanon. Suppose he didn't do it. He just cooked it as is, with its milk content. Like Roy, he didn't tear it open. And he cooks it and he eats it. He has not really transgressed an Issur D'oraisa, nor will he get Malkus. So yeah, Midrabbanan, clean it out. But if he did it without cleaning it, he has not committed Issur D'oraisa. On a similar note, another organ which has some liquid content will be the heart, which has blood, right? Halev. Here as well, kairoi, he must tear it open, must his stomach clean out its blood prior to cooking it. Suppose he didn't. He failed to open it and just cooked it as is. Loikroi, he didn't tear it open. Einoi erve olav, he's not going to have transgressed an issur d'oraisa, even if he consumes it as is with its blood content. And the question here is why? I mean, blood is blood. It's also min ha-toira, Rashi explains, based on the Gemara Meseches Krisus, that we're speaking about a small-sized heart, one of a oif, of a fowl, in which case the blood within it is less than a kezias. So although it's usher, because it's usher, but it's not going to trigger malchus, because it's not a kezias. So we have two similar phenomena in the Mishnah. We have the kechal, which has its milk content, meant to be cleaned out, but the evidence is not over. We have, on the other hand, the heart with its blood content, it's meant to clean out, if we cleaned out, but even if he doesn't, he's not going to be getting malchus. Now, let's go back to the kachal for a moment. You meant to clean it out. Okay, he didn't, cooked it as is, he eats it, there's no malchus. Because as explained, this isn't really classified as milk, minatur at all. So now the question is, can he eat it? Midrabbanon, I mean, it's after the fact. Fine, he didn't follow instructions. So now he has a cooked udder, which inevitably has some milk content absorbed within the walls. But, you know, it was never really visible. It never really came out. Right? The Gemara Rashi later explains, we're speaking that it was roasted. Now, when something's roasted, look, whatever comes out, stays out. Whatever milk never came out, was always inside, stayed inside, and remains inside. So it never really, it wasn't piresh. It never left and came back. It never really assumed its own identity. Now comes an interesting question. Could he consume it l'chatchila? They turn to him at base. We have two versions of Rav. Amar Rav Zera Amar Rav, in the first version of Rav, go ahead. You shouldn't have done it. You should have cleaned it out. But once it's done, it's roasted. Okay, it's fine. Whatever's in there is in there. It's not even asur midrabbanan, Rashi says, because it was le'pirish. It never left. You know, we have a similar halacha by blood. You know, the halacha is that blood of a human, right, is not asur min ha-toira. But midrabbanan it is, provided that it left the person, as opposed to, let's say, a person has a sore in his mouth that's, you know, slightly bleeding. That's okay, because it never really left. It never assumed its own identity. It was still sort of connected with the person. And therefore, it's not even asur midrabbanan. Likewise, perhaps in this case, although he meant to clean out the milk, but if he roasted it as is, and the milk never left. You see, if it was cooked, Rashi explains this later, if it was cooked in a pot, inevitably there's an exchange. It's a two-way street. The milk comes out, comes back in during the cooking process. There, certainly it would be also midrabbanan because it already was classified as milk when it left and then went back in, so it's also midrabbanan. But here, it never left. Whatever is in there now never left the roasted udder. Amar Zera, Amar Rav, Eino Eiver Olav. So if he cooks it as is, there's no malkas, umutar, and he can go ahead and eat it. Lechatchila. Ask the Gemara, hold it. Let's take a close look at the verbiage of the Mishnah. Vanan Tana, the Mishnah says, if he failed to clean it out and he cooked it as is, Einai Eiver Olav. Okay, he hasn't really transgressed. Nisa de Raisa, there's no malkas. Okay, so that much, but it doesn't sound like he can go and eat it. May avur hudaloy avar, he hasn't transgressed. Ha isura ika. But it would imply, it would infer that it's usher to eat it. No, but dinu de isura namileka, truthfully, there's nothing wrong with eating it now. The reason for this choice of words was on account of the next halacha in the Mishnah, where in that case it really is usher to eat it. Even after the fact, because even a little bit of blood is asr, but not Torah. I mean, you don't get malchus, but it's still asr. Bedinu, truthfully, bedinu the isura damileko, there's no isra for eating this roasted udder after the fact. Vaidi, on account, the bar, the Mishnah Sefer, that the Mishnah intended on proceeding to the next case with the heart, with its blood content, right? The heart is meant to be cleaned out of its blood. Like Kari failed to do that. If he eats it as is, since it's less than a kazais, he doesn't get malchus, but of course it's asur. Hence, the choice of words. Hasam. So in that case, the hasam may avud le'avar. Technically, he has not really transgressed isur de'oraisa, meaning to the extent that he's going to get malchus. Ha'isur ikav, it's still asur. Rashi explains, even a drop of blood is asur. Rashi says, Chatzi shir, even a half of a shir, asur min ha-Torah. So the choice of wording in the next part of the Mishnah was accurate, was meant to teach us a very specific lesson. I mean, Rashi, on account of that lashon, the Mishnah chose, you know, matching, symmetrical language, that even by the kachal, the roasted udder, ain't over, olav, he's not going to be over, you know, if he eats it, but really it's more than that. You can eat it l'chatchila. Lema masiyale, perhaps I can now support Rav's halacha from a brisa. Well, it would seem that the udder is perfectly permitted. Hakachal, back to the udder. Kair oy moitzi is chalavai. Tear it open and take out the milk. Loi kari, he failed to do that. Eina iver olav, he's not going to transgress. Halev kair oy moitzi is damai. Likewise, the heart must be cleaned out of its blood. Loi kari, he failed to do that. Kair lacha bishuloi. Umutar, after he roasts it, bishlobi, I mean roasting, Rashi brings that we find in Divrei Yomim, vayivashlos ha-pesach, that pesach, which of course is roasted, is regarded as vayivashlo, described as having been cooked. So we see lashon bishol sometimes can mean roast. So in this case as well, so he roasted these items, right? So he roasted the heart. Halev koyre moitzi es damai, loy koyre lacha bishuloi. He tears it open afterwards. Umutar. And now that he cleaned out the milk, it's okay. Now let's just stop for a second. Afterward, isn't it too late? I mean, the blood gets embedded in the flesh of the heart. So Rashi explains, based on the Gemara in Psachim, Shani Lev, the material that comprises the heart, is Shia. It's different. It's smooth and repellent. It's like Teflon. So it doesn't really absorb the blood contents. Even after it's been processed, you can still get to clean it out of its blood. Now, end of quote. Let's analyze this price. It would seem that only by the heart, levu debayikriya, after it's done, the process, you got to tear it open and aval kachal debayikriya, but there's no need to do that by the kachal. Apparently, once it's roasted, it's roasted, leave it alone. That's a raya to Rav, that it's mutl chatchil. No, says the Gemara, perhaps just the opposite. Duma levu desagal debayikriya, perhaps the Brisa just means that the heart has an advantage that you could tear it open now and clean it up, because as we explained, it's not really going to absorb it, right, during the, you know, roasting process. So now you can still clean it out. It's not too late. Aval kachal le'sagel b'krib. But perhaps the point is that by the udder, it's too late to clean it out. So just the opposite. We thought it's going to be a raya, that it's mutl chatchil. Perhaps just the opposite. It's too far gone. It's asr b'diyev. So according to the first version of Rav, a roasted udder that was not cleaned out of its milk, although it should have been done, but it wasn't, after the fact, it's mutal l'chatchila. And the reason that Rashi explains is because it's chalav shchuta shalei pirish. Chalav of a shchuta, which is only the rabbanon to begin with. And here we have another factor that never really left. It was embedded and stayed inside. It never was expressed as chalav, in which case it's mutar l'chatchil. However, v'ikud amri is another version of amar abzeir amar rav. The roasted udder, eino ivra alav. There's no isa deraisa for eating it. V'asa b'midrabban, you shouldn't eat it because of its milk content. We don't differentiate between whether it left or it stayed inside. It's milk, it's milk. Lema misayele, perhaps we can support this halacha from the Diyukanau Mishnah, which was the same Mishnah that we used as a kasha on the first version, but now we're reversing it, we're bringing a raya, because now the tables turn. Now we're saying it's awesome, we have a raya from the Mishnah, which seems to say the same. Lema sayele, eino ivra alav. So in the Mishnah we learned that if he failed to clean it out and he roasted it as is, there's no malchus. Mi avarud loyavar. Okay, there's no malchus. Ha'isur ika. But it sounds like it's asa midrabanan, which supports Rav's point. No, bedinu di sur namileka. Perhaps the Mishnah does not mean to say it is an isur. Perhaps it's mutl chatchila. Why this choice of words? On account of the sefer, right? Similar to what we said before. Va'aydi de bodem isn't sefer. Since the Mishnah intended on proceeding to the case of the heart, halev, kairoi, yemotzias dom, it must be cleaned out of its blood prior to processing. Loikara, he failed to clean it out. Eina ivrelo, even itzi doesn't get malchus because it's less than a shear. Right? The asam, yavad loyavar. So in that case, certainly, although there's no malchus, but ha'isur ika, certainly it's asur because less than a shear of forbidden material. So since the Mishnah was intending on using that language there, Tanami Reisha, likewise, the Mishnah applied the similar verbiology to the Reisha regarding the roasted udder. Eina over olav, he's not over, but perhaps it's even mutal chatchil, you have no raya from here. Tashma, it comes another raya. There's going to be a kasha from that Braisa. Hakachal koiroi emaitias chalavoi. The kachal must be teared and cleaned of its, the torn and cleaned of its milk. Loikari failed to do that. Einoy over olav. He hasn't transgressed Issa Dairais. Next, Halev, the heart, Koiroi, Moises Dama, you must rip it open and extract its blood. Loi Koiroi, failed to do that. Koiroi Lachabi Shulai, Umutar, even after roasting, he can cleanse it and it's okay. Stop. End of rice. It sounds like Lehu Dubai Kriya. That only with respect to the blood in the heart, that has to be cleansed even after roasting. Aval Kachalabai Kriya, but by the udder, don't bother. That's a kasha on this version of Rav, who says you can't eat it even now, even after the fact. Says Igmar, no, who says? That is what the Braisa means. Dilma, perhaps, Levu de Sagale Bikriya, Avakhali Sagale Bikriya. Just the opposite. By the heart, due to the fact that it's repellent, material is non absorbent, you can now go ahead and clean it out, even after it's roast. But by the udder, it's too late. Le Sagale Bikriya, you can't do it. So, bottom line, we have a machlekes regarding a roasted udder, which he did not clean out prior to roasting. First lashon of Rav is it's mutl chatchila, because it's chalav shchuta, which is in the rabbana, which never left the organ. According to the second lashon, it's asam in the rabbana. Tanya, we have a brisa kalishin kam in the Rav in support of the first lashon of Rav that it's mutar lechatchila. Kechal shebishle bechalave, ara was roasted with its milk content mutar. Okay. So it's okay, but the evidence is okay. However, a keva, now we shift to a little bit of a different variation of this halacha. We have a keva, that's the fourth stomach of the animal. Shebishla b'chalava, so we have a young calf nursing from its mother, and after shechita, you discover the keva full of milk, you know, from its nursing. Shebishla b'chalava, which was cooked with its milk content, in this case it's asur, asur min ha-Torah. I mean, you would ask, what's the difference? The udder with its milk is okay, but the keva with its milk is asr. Uma hefersh benzel, what's the difference between this and that? Says the more very simple. Ze konos b'meyav, v'ze en konos b'meyav. In contrast to the udder, which is en konos b'meyav, it's not collected in its stomach, which means to say it's still embedded in the, you know, the milk producing, you know, cells or whatever, right? It's a conduit. Milk that had been milked off an animal and is now found inside the next animal. Ze konos b'meyav, by the nursing calf, he milked live milk off the live mother, and then it was konos b'meyav collected in its stomach. That is milk min ha-Torah. right? So then when it's cooked together with its stomach, it's basar b'chala, but v'zeh inkonis b'mei, you have the milk inside the udder. It doesn't have that. It wasn't nursed from a live animal and then collected in the stomach of the calf. No, it's still in its original production facility. So in this case, at most, it's only chalav shchuta midrabanan. And certainly when it never even left the udder, and it was roasted as is, midrabanan, even midrabanan, you can eat it l'chatchila. Ketzad kore. So back to the Mishnah, which instructs us to tear open the udder. How do you do that? Amar Rav Yehuda, to what extent do you have to open it? Kore shesivere, back and forth, like an X. Totally tear it open. V'tache b'koisel, and then squeeze it against the wall, against the hot surface, and actually extract all the milk prior to roasting it. Amalei Rabbi Lazar. Rabbi Lazar turned to his helper, L'shamei. He says, "Kralei vana echel. Just, you know, give it a tear, and then you'll serve it to me." Maika Mashma, what's his point? Masnisani, we have it in the Mishnah. Why is he telling him over a Mishnah? I mean, we're assuming that his Shamas was a learned fellow, right? And why do you have to tell him? Masnisani, okay, Mashma, his point was to say like this, that since you're merely roasting it for me, you're not cooking it, you don't need such an extensive cleansing process like the Mishnah. Hakamashmalon, deloy ba'inan shesi ve'erev, v'toche b'koisel. He was teaching that the Mishnah never meant an extensive cleansing process. You don't need shesiv back and forth and squishing it against the wall. That is only regarding bishul. So Rav Yehuda was talking about bishul, according to Rav Lazar's understanding. When you cook it, it has to be really cleansed, because when you cook it, there's an exchange of flavor and liquid going both ways, a two-way street. So there has to be fully clean. Because once it leaves and comes back in, that's a problem. But when you're doing tzliya, when you're merely roasting it, just open it up a bit so that the roasting process will extract and expel whatever it is, and then we're clean of any milk, free of any milk. Amar le Yalsa. Here comes an interesting discussion. Yalsa, who was the wife of Rav Nachman, she was apparently a very learned person, and she turned to Rav Nachman. She says, "You know, I have an interesting observation. The Torah sets up many parallels, many matching pairs. You have an item which is forbidden, right? And correspondingly, the Torah says, look, I'm not going to stretch it all the way. I'm going to give you an allowance to have a little a sampling, a taste of something similar to that forbidden item. So the Torah doesn't just lock the door all the way, lock you out of all these things. The Torah gives you an allowance to have something similar, to satiate your taste, your curiosity, right? The Gemara actually says, Rashi brings it by the, kiseitze, by the eshes yifas toyar. Torah is sensitive to the fact that we have very strong opposing force of desire, right? And interest in things which are not necessarily commendable. So the Torah allows us something which gives us sort of an opening, a window into the experience, which is really Aser. And we find that throughout the Torah. She gives a whole rundown, a whole printout. Listen to this. Amar le Yasal Rav Nach, Michti, look, kol da Aser lan Rachmana. All the things that are Aser in the Torah, Sharalan Kavasei, the Torah provided us with a corresponding phenomena, which is, experience, which is very similar, which is Mutter. Sharalan Kavasei. For instance, Asalan Dhamma, we can't eat blood. Shalon Kavda. But the Torah allows us to have liver, which is essentially congealed blood. So you get a taste of blood. It's a permitted version of blood. Dam Nida, right? One cannot approach a woman while she's a Nida. Dam Toya. Right? Correspondingly, we have the period when she's Toya, when she has a Dam of Tahara, Rashi says, after birth, or Bisulin, which is a similar experience, but that's Mutter. We have Chelev, forbidden fat of a Behema. Then we have seemingly similar fat, which is permitted. Chelev of a Chaya is okay. We have the famous Chazir, which we don't eat. But then we have some material which tastes like chazer, which is mutter. Moichot, the brain material of the shibuta, a certain fish, which tastes very similar to chazer. So if you're interested, go have that. Go have a taste. Givrusa, which Rashi learns is if tame, a non-kosher bird. If you're curious to what it tastes like, listen to the kavra. Go have yourself a tongue of a fish. Eishes ish, right? The married woman is forbidden for us. But there's a similar type of phenomenon, which is grusha v'chayibala, a divorcee during the lifetime of her husband, which is very similar to eishes ish. And she's mutter, you can marry her. We have eishes ach, right? A sister-in-law, the wife of a brother, who is forbidden. But we have yivama, right? The yivama is permitted. Kusis, we may not approach a non-Jewish woman, but if a tayar is okay, right? Captured during wartime, so there's a parallel system throughout the Torah. We have something which is asur, correspondingly something which is very similar, which is mutter. Now, what about basar b'chala? Very curious. I'd like to have a sampling of basar b'chala of any permitted version. Ba'inan l'meichal bistro b'chala, I'd like to have basar b'chala. Can you work it out for me? Amul Rav Nachman taboches, Rav Nachman turned to his chefs. He says, yeah, zavikula, roast for her, kachli. An udder, right? So the Zviku means like stick it into the spit, roast her kachal with its milk. Now she'll get a taste of basa b'chalav in a permitted version. Says the Gemara, hold it. Are you allowed to do that without cleaning out the milk? Vanan Tana, we have in the Mishnah which says koira, you have to tear it open, take out the milk. What do you mean? How will the kadeira? Rav Nachman had a whole different approach to the sugya. He learns that in the Mishnah, we're speaking that it's being cooked, a kader in a pot. Then you have to clean it out. So he takes it to the other extreme. He says that by cholef shchuta, inside it utter, if you're merely going to roast it, so you're not going to have the outer and in transfer, whatever stays in is always going to be there permanently, whatever. That's mutter l'chatchila. So we have now three shitas about roasting the udder with its milk content. Kontra of Nachman, mutter l'chatchila. According to Rav's first version, it's not mutter l'chatchila, but b'di'evet, it's mutter to eat it. According to the second version, it's also even to eat it b'di'evet. Okay, in any case, that's the way he learns it. Ask the Gemara b'hal katani shabishloi. We have that brice, if you recall, which spoke about the udder that was roasted. And Rashi explains that bishloi certainly means roasted, because if it would be bishloi literally cooked, it would be also even b'di'evet, because the milk left and came back in. So bishloi certainly over here means roasting as well. And the brisa seems to indicate that it's only good after the fact. Okay, it was done. The eved in, if it was roasted, fine, you eat it. But not l'chatchila, no, you can't do that. No, Rav Nachman will learn who I didn't have l'chatchila. It's even allowed initially. V'aydi de kabayim nusne seifa. It's just on account of the next halacha there, which says keva, we turn to the next amit, keva shebishla b'chalva. Stomach that was cooked with its milk content, asura. In this case, it's asur. In this case, it's also even b'di'evet, right? Because it's real milk. When Torah was nursed off a live animal, now it's sitting in the next animal's stomach. So that's also even after the fact. Likewise, in the case of the udder, the brisa cites sort of a b'di'evet form of presenting the halacha, a past tense. But really, it's muta even to go ahead and do it initially. Kisalag Rabbi Elazar. When Rabbi Elazar travel up to Eretz Yisrael. Ashkechel is Iri. He meets up with the Amora. Ziri. Amorle says, back in Bavel, we know that Rav originally lived in Eretz Yisrael and learned with Rav Chia, his uncle. Then he moved over to Bavel. So I'm just curious, there's a version of Rav. He was aware of the second version of Rav. That the roasted udder is usher, even after the fact. Rabban, you can't eat it. He's wondering where Rav got it from. Who taught Rav this halacha? Where's the source? Amar Lei, so he asked him, Ika Tana, is there any scholar that's Nail Rav Kachal, which would have taught Rav this halacha of Kachal? I'm just curious where the source is. That it's usher even after. Okay, so Achvayi Rav Yitzchak, he showed him over there, Rav Yitzchak by Abadimi. And he approached him with the same question. Amar Lei says, no, don't blame it on me. I never taught him this halacha of Kachal. No, that's not coming from me. I'll tell you where Rav is coming from. I'll explain it to you. Why he was so strict. V'rav biko motzo. Rav discovered a biko, an open breached piece of property, open field. It's an expression. He noticed he encountered a community which were not being careful, which were being lax. So he came down hard on them, so that they take it more seriously. And he was machmir even on something which perhaps typically would not be machmir on, just to sort of teach them a lesson and, you know, get them on track. V'rav biko motza v'gadol b'gadol, he found an open breached area and he erected a fence around it. That explains why Rav was so strict in this matter. What was the story? The Rav Ikl, Rav visited this town of Tatlavush, okay? Shama. And while there, he overhears the two women speaking to each other and discussing recipes. Shama lahi itasa, he hears this woman, the Kamal Chaverta, speaking to her friend. Okay, making supper tonight, can you give me some tips? Riva de bistra. I got a quarter, you know, a quarter pound, a quarter liter of meat. How much milk do you need to get it really nice and juicy? Kama chalava boilav shuli. How much milk do you need, you know, to cook it up properly? Ooh, Rav heard that. He was flabbergasted. Basa b'chalav day rice. What's going on in this place? Omar, he says, like miri the basa b'chalav asr. Nobody here knows that basa b'chalav is asr. Yaakov, he said, okay, I got to stick around here and teach them a thing or two. He taught them the basics, and he was even machmer on them. Sometimes, you know, you have to go to the other extreme to balance it out, to get them, you know, cognizant and serious about it. Yaakov v'ka'asalu kachli, even disallow the roasting of the kachal. And, you know, he went to the extreme that even if it was roasted with the chalav shchuta, which only the rabbanon, would be asr. This way, they, you know, keeps them a step ahead of the game. Continues the Gemara. Rav Kahana, in fact, Masni Yochi, he had this version of the story like we had. Rabbi Yisir Bar Abba, he had a different version of this interaction, of this conversation. Masni, he presented like this, that when Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi was confronted, you know, and asked about, you know, Rav's source, he says, look, I want to explain it to you, I want to elaborate, I want to clarify what happened. He says, Ano kechal shel menika shenitzeloi. In reality, I gave Rav that information, but it was a different thing. I told him about a kechal shel minika, an udder of a cow that's nursing her calf, which is full of milk. In that case, yeah, you have to tear it open and clean it out. But he mistakenly thought it refers to every udder. Right? But in reality, an ordinary udder doesn't even have to be torn to begin with. Okay? Umipilpulish Rabbi Chia, Shana Lekechal Stam. So what happened was, Rashi explains, Rav learned by his uncle Rabbi Chia, who's Mepulpul, very deep and sharp, and he thought that his Talmidim are on the same level of depth and analysis, and when he taught them the halachi, he failed to sort of clarify that he meant only the nursing udder. So when he taught it to them, Rav understood, misunderstood, and misapplied it to an ordinary udder as well, which in reality Rav Chia did not have in mind. And he applied the same strictness to an ordinary udder. But the actual halacha is, no, that only by the nursing udder are we so machmer. But otherwise, you don't even have to tear it open. Because, you know, whatever it has in there is not significant, and you know. So that explains why Rav was so machmer. But in reality, it would only have been applied, should have been applied only to this specific, unique type of situation. Continues the Gemara. Ravin v'Rav Yitzchak Bar Yosef. What happened to them? Iklu l'beit Rav Papi. So they came, they paid a visit to Rav Papi's home. Aisel kamay tafshilo d'kchal. They served them a dish of an udder, a cooked udder. Place a dinner. Rav Yitzchak Bar Yosef, achal, he ate. Rav, no, lo yachid, didn't want to eat. I guess he was able to tell that it wasn't, you know, cleaned out. Amar Abayis, Abaye responded, he says, Ravin, Tichla, Ravin lost his children, so it was a sad reference to Ravin. Ravin, poor Ravin, amay lo yachal, why didn't he eat the meat? It was served by a righteous woman, who certainly had her traditions worked out. She knew exactly what's right, what's what. Michti Dvisud Rapapi, who was the wife of Rapapi? She was the daughter of a great man, Barti, the daughter of Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha Avoy. No, Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha, her father was a great man, a Mori Duv Dahava. Rashi says, Mori Duv Dahava means Zoy Ramasim Tevim, very conscientious, very meticulous, a great tzaddik. Ilav de Shmielam Ibinosha. If not for the fact that she heard it from, you know, back home, that she got this from her family, from her father's house, certainly she would not have served it this way. So you can be sure that if she served it to you, it was perfectly fine. Right, so perhaps Taisa says he thought it was a nursing order. In reality, it wasn't. So it's not an issue. Now, Besura, so in a practical sense, how did they conduct themselves? In Surah, Besura lo yachli kachli. They would refrain from eating the cooked udder at all. At all. Even roasted, even cleaned open. It was a stringency that they adopted. They wouldn't touch the kachal. Lest, you know, it come to complications. But Pumbedisa, on the other hand, the other town, achli kachli, they would eat the kachal. Right? As per the halachas in the Mishnah, clean it open, right? No problem. Now what happened? Rami Bar Tamri, that was his name, the who, he had another name, he's also called Rami Bar Dukuli. And he hailed from Mipumbadisa, that was his hometown. Ikul is Surah, now he's in Surah. It's Erev Yom Kippur. Gotta prepare for the fast, gotta eat. V'mali Yom Inti Kippur. No, afkinu kuli amal kachlinu. Now the locals, right, would not eat the kachal, right? So they separated their kachals from their animals, shadinu, and, you know, tossed them out. What did he do? He went around collecting them. He had a free meal. Azali, unaktini, went around, gathered them together, achlinu, ate them. Okay, he had a free meal for Yom Kippur, Erev Kippur. Because he came from Pumbedisa, where it was permitted. Okay, so the locals noticed him. They were flabbergasted. I saw the commander of Chizda. I slept into Rav Chizda. Call him to task. What are you doing? Eating forbidden materials. Armalesi says to Nu, am I Tavid Hachi? Why'd you eat it? Why are you doing that? Armalesi says, what do you mean? Where I come from, it's okay. Me Astra Rav Yudana. I come from Yudas town. The Achal, he would eat. So it's good for him. It's good for me. Armalesi turns to me and says, but what about the adhering to the local practices? For last night, do you not subscribe to the Halacha that we had back in Maseches Pesachim? When a person comes from one town, and relocates to another, he adopts the strictnesses, the stringencies of the local customs. We apply the chumras of the of his hometown. Likewise, the chumras of the local residents. So, if you come from a place where they're machmer, even though now you're in a different place, you have to still adhere to your old strictnesses, and vice versa. You gotta stick to the local custom. Armali, he says, I ate them outside the tchum. I took them with me outside the, 2,000 amma. In which case, I'm not bound. There's no machlekes. I'm not bound to the local practice. Okay, fine. It's a good answer. So he interrogated him further. What did you roast them with? What did you find firewood out in the open? Armali, I found these grape pits from the, wine press, which was sitting around. I used them as firewood. So he says, well, maybe it's Yainessa, maybe it's from Geisha wine, it's from forbidden material. Amalie says, they're old, they were really dried up, a year old. Amalie, it was after 12 months, and Rashi brings the Gemara in Avodah Zarah. Once it's so fully dry, bone dry, after 12 months, it no longer has any Yainessa, moisture, and Yainessa residue in them, it's okay. So he says, hold it, but who says you can just take it from the street? Vidumah de gezel havi, maybe it's gezel, you're stealing, maybe it belongs to somebody. Amalei says, I can tell, it was sitting there for ages, yush bailam havo, was certainly relinquished by its owner. How do I know? The katchubuch buchilfi was growing, they were growing moss or whatever. So I know it was sitting there forever, it was ownerless. Okay. He continued on, chazid havi monach tefillin, he sees that he's not wearing tefillin. To them it was... By them was, a full day thing, wearing tefillin all day. He's not wearing tefillin. I guess he was concerned that others may learn from him, so he was just challenging him item by item to get to the bottom of it. Amarle, he says, my time in Leman Chas Tefillin, what's with the Tefillin today? Amarle, he says, Choyli Me'ayinu. He says, something with my stomach, I'm not able to wear Tefillin today. From Rabida teaches us, Choyli Me'ayinu, a person has a stomach ailment, Patim not Tefillin, he's exempt from Tefillin. Rashi says, because it would require constant, off and on, so, Chazilev Karami Chuti. Okay, now to the tzitzis. Finish with the tefillin, on to the tzitzis. He sees Lehav Karamichut, he has no strings on his garment, there's no tzitzis. He says, what's going on? Amar Leh, my time, less lachuti. What's with the strings? Amar Leh says, it's not my bag, it's a borrowed garment, which is exempt. The pasuk says, kesuscha, has to belong to you, right? From Rabbi Yehuda, we turn to my base, talashula, if one borrows a garment, kol shleshim yem turban at tzitzis. For the first 30 days, it's exempt from tzitzis. And Tosfos brings, actually, it's always a potter, even after 30 days, but with the Rabbanan, it looks like it's yours, you're wearing it for so long, it must be yours. So it appears like, so with the Rabbanan, but now it's just a day or two that I'm wearing it, and, Okay, as he's still standing there, the Hachi, as this was going on, I saw Lo Gavra, suddenly they noticed this fellow being pulled into the bezin there, they dragged this man, the Loi Havamoyker, what was his offense? He wasn't very careful with honoring his parents, neglected the mitzvah of kibud avim, the lehava meiker abu v'imei, wasn't respectful to his parents. Kavsu, they tied him up, they bound him down, about to give him malchus. Now Rashi explains, unlike the regular 39 lashes, which is the malchus min haTorah given as a punishment after one transgresses a mitzvah leis asei, here it's a different system. This was not for the sake of punishment, rather for enforcement. Rashi brings Gemara that the bezin is obligated to force people to do mitzvahs. You see a person on sukkah, is not sitting in the sukkah, is not shaking lulavi, stop whipping him, let's go, until you do it. And it's limitless, there's no number, there's no defined amount of... So anyways, this fellow was not being mekayim kibud avim, they were about to give him malchus. Amar lo, so this guest, Rami Bar Tamri, calls out, he says, well hold it, what's going on? Leave him alone, you're not allowed to do that. Why? Although... By lulav, yeah. By sukkah, yeah. But not kibud avim. The son you have a brisa. Kol mitzvah sasei. Shematan schor b'tzid. You have a mitzvah sasei, which where the Torah actually expresses schar, describes its reward in this world, next to the mitzvah. Aside from the eternal reward, the Torah gives us schar in this world as well, such as, Rashi says, such as kibud avim, leman yarichon yamecha, long life, right? So what the Torah is telling you is, look, although by a regular mitzvah, sasei, Bezdin has the obligation to force him, by pain of malchus, but not by this mitzvah. Here, look, the punishment is, if you fail to do this mitzvah, you're... forfeiting your reward in this world. That's your punishment. And that's it. So it ends there. You can't apply another method of enforcement. The sign called mitzvah seh shematan schor b'tzida, a mitzvah seh which has its reward described next to it, such as kibud avim, ein bezin shalamat, the bezin down here in this world cannot proceed, musar and aleh are not obligated to enforce it. So basically, this fellow was off the hook. Amar Leh, Rav Chizda was very impressed with this guest. He says, wow, you're really on top of your game. Amar Leh, Chazin Lach Tacharifas Tuvai, I'm taking note of your extreme sharpness. Wow. Amar Leh says, well, you ain't seen nothing yet. Ihavis Basred, Rav Yehuda, if only you'd come to the Rav Yehuda's town back in Pumadisa, when I'm back home, Achbin Lach, I'll show you Chirfoy, my sharpness. Now the Chassam Sefer brings it, of course, it would seem, right? This is not something that a person, Talmud Chacham, is typically not boastful, is not haughty, so why was he expressing himself this way? If you'd only know how sharp I really am. So interesting, listen to this. Beautiful piece that Chassam Sefer brings from his Rebbe, Rav Nosson Adler Zatzal. He says like this, it is known that a person only arrives at his ultimate, maximizes his intellectual abilities when he disengages, when he actually disengages, detaches from his Rebbe, and goes out on his own and spreads his wings. As long as he's still under his Rebbe's tutelage, it's sort of suppressed, right? He's still, you know, sort of receiving. He's not really developing himself as he should be. Now, you may recall a minute ago, the beginning of this discussion, at this sort of debate, right? He says, what are you doing eating the kachal contrary to local custom? He says, well, you know, I come from the other place, and I'm out of the tchum, and et cetera, et cetera. Basically, I'm just passing by, right? It's just a temporary, and I didn't really take up residence in this place. So now, when he noticed how sharp he was, he said, hold it. You claim that you're still connected to your Rebbe back in Pampadisa. You're still a resident of Pampadisa. No, it seems from your level of intellectual prowess that you're really a local. You're so sharp. You're disengaged from your Rebbe. You're on your own. That's the only way to explain your extreme sharpness and your high level of intellect. So really, you're a local. And you can't eat kachal. You living here? So he says, no. You ain't seen nothing yet. You come back to Pampadisa, I'll show you how much further I can go. I have a lot to learn. I plan on going back. I'm just passing through. I'm still back by the Rebbe. I'm developing myself further. My capacity is so much greater than this. I still got so much more to learn and to develop myself. In which case, incorrect. I'm not a local resident. I'm really still a Pampadisa resident. In which case, it justifies why I was able to eat tikkachal. Very interesting. Beautiful pshat in the Gemara. Okay, perhaps we'll leave the rest for tomorrow. That's a whole new topic about cooking, roasting the liver. We'll get to that by the Shem tomorrow. Okay, so in a nutshell, we had the halacha of the kachal. And again, min haTorah, only milk that was milked off a live animal is considered true milk, which is also to be mixed with meat. The Rabban, even a chalav shchuta, chalav discovered within a slaughtered animal, is also considered chalav. Now, the udder is sort of a tricky thing because, you know, the milk within it, if it's roasted, you know, as is, it's just going to stay there. It's never going to leave. So if it leaves and comes back, then you have a problem. That's certainly also the Rabbanim. But if it's being roasted as is, whatever leaves, leaves. Whatever stays, stays permanently. So that was the big shaila in the Gemara. According to Rav Nachman, it's mutal chatchil without even cleaning it out. According to the other sheet, you have to clean it out. But the evidence, if it wasn't cleaned out, just roasted as is, Rav says mutter, according to the second lashon, is asr. The Gemara later explains, this is according to the explanation here, that it only applies to the mother cow, which is, you know, the nursing process, so she has lots of milk in there. Otherwise, according to one shot in the Gemara, you don't even have to attend to the udder and even, you know, clear it open, as per the story with the wife of Rav Papi, right? An interesting conversation between the Yalsa and Rav Nachman. We found this sort of matching system, Asr and Mutter. And she was curious about basar b'chalav, and he allowed her a sample of basar b'chalav, as close as you get to the original, by roasting up that kachal with its little content. We had another interesting story towards the end of a person who visited Surah, and he allowed himself the kachal. He wasn't wearing tefillin, he wasn't wearing tzitzis, and ultimately he had a good explanation for everything, satisfied Rav Chisda, who was actually very impressed with his harifas. Okay, thanks for joining. All the best to you. Psuras tovas and atzlacha.